You are listening to the Salvation Army Pendleton Podcast.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I cannot begin to tell you how excited my wife and I are to be with you in Pendleton and to be here for at least the next 4 years, I would think. And I only say 4 years because this should be our last appointment before we retire. And we got news that we were coming to Pendleton. My wife and I both were elated. I had visited the Corps twice in the past, once when Shane and Gina, Captains Jane and Sheena were here, and then a second time when Captains Martha and Don were here, for youth events. And we have passed through Pendleton several times in our travels, and never stopped and saw much of Pendleton other than Highway 84. And maybe a gas station here and there. But we are excited to be here. And I want to thank you all for the way you have warmly accepted us. I know that transitions with officers coming and going can be difficult. And I would ask that throughout the day, as you think about it, be praying for Don, Captains Don and Martha in their new appointment. And be praying for our previous appointment, Newport, because obviously Newport got new officers as well. Majors Toomey came up from Bend to take command of Newport, and this is their welcome Sunday as well as ours. So keep those officers and officer families throughout the division, because sometimes we forget the other people that are affected by moves are their children. And the children are leaving friends behind, they're leaving teachers and people that have affected their lives through their stay here. And it's a big transition for children, for young people, as they move with their parents. So be praying for the families of the officers who have farewelled and are now in their new appointments. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Joshua. And if you have a Bible like mine, that's page 217. Yeah, or 249. As I was contemplating what I wanted to preach about this morning, a lot of thoughts raced through my mind. And since this is my first Sunday, obviously I didn't want to kick off a series. I like to preach in series, sermon series, because it's easier, quite frankly. We like to observe special days as well, but when you preach in a series, it keeps you kind of focused on track, and it actually is easier for your sermon prep. But as I was thinking about what my very first message to you would be, what came to mind was a verse in Joshua that I took as my verse when I was commissioned a Salvation Army officer a long time ago. My wife and I are captains, although I look like I should be at least a major. We are captains, but we were commissioned back in 1987. And at that time, the practice was, and I believe still is, that you took a verse, and that was your verse when you were commissioned, your commissioning verse. And I chose as my verse Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, which says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, this particular verse, I didn't pick because I was terrified about being an officer. And I certainly wasn't discouraged about all the assignments that I knew that we'd eventually have as we moved through our officership. But the part that stuck with me and the part that I was claiming was the last part of that verse, "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." If you know anything about Joshua, he was quite a guy. We sing about him, right, all the time? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. We've all sung that song. I guess fit is a kind of a southern way of saying fought. I don't know. I didn't figure that out until I was much older. But Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that came back with a good report. And as you recall, the Israelites were to take the promised land. They sent out the 12 spies, one from each tribe. All the spies came back, and Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that the word says had a good report. The other 10 spies said, "We can't do this. They're big as grasshoppers. They're going to annihilate us." That's my translation. "They're going to they're just going to walk all over us. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can do this. And the people refused, and as a result, they rebelled, and that led to the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And out of that generation that came out of Egypt, out of Caleb and Joshua's generation, the only two from that generation that were allowed to cross over into the promised land were Caleb and Joshua. Joshua is noted as being a military strategist of the first order. He did a lot of the commanding of the Israelite army as they encountered, even before they crossed into the promised land, as they encountered these other groups. So Joshua, his career starts out good, and he's picked to be, in one version it says an assistant, and I don't like that assistant stuff. In another version it says aide. He was picked to be Moses' aide. And a matter of fact, it was Joshua who accompanied Moses to the mountain for that first go-around with the tablets. Remember that? Moses goes up to the mountain to get the word of God, and his brother Aaron is down building a golden calf. And Joshua says to Moses, it sounds like fighting down there. Something's going on. And Moses tells him, no, I hear it sounds like singing. And Moses comes back down, sees the golden calf, throws the two tablets on the ground. They break. But Joshua, throughout his career, remains faithful to his calling, not only as the aide to Moses, but eventually to become the leader of the Israelites. Can you imagine following somebody who's been the leader of a nation for 40 years? That'd be like a 10-term president. And Joshua is picked by God to be the successor to Moses. And actually, that verse that I read you is actually a repeat of what Moses had told Joshua back previously. And turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. God tells Moses to tell Joshua in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, starting with the fifth verse, the Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them what I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, and this is the original saying of these words, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And again, we see those words repeated in the first chapter of Joshua. The reason that I took that verse was that I wanted to be reminded that no matter where I went, no matter what appointment we were given, that God was already going before me, that he was going with me, he would be there when I got there, he would never forsake me, and he would be in the midst of all that transpires in that appointment. But there's a couple conditions I would like to share with you that sometimes we gloss over. Go back to Joshua. Starting with the sixth verse, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. And this is the part that I want to draw our attention to for a moment or so. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. If I and my wife are to be prosperous and successful in any appointment that we are given by the Salvation Army, we need to be not only talkers, but doers of the word. And I would tell you that as we embark on this partnership together, you and my wife and I, in the work not only of the Salvation Army, but more importantly, the work of the kingdom here in Umatilla County, here in this piece of the mission field that God has entrusted to us, we need to be people who are in the Word, not only reading it, but more importantly, doing it and living it out every day of our lives. One of the things that I discovered as a Christian, more and more as I live longer and longer, people are not interested in words. If you want words, you can turn on QVC and you can listen to words all day long. I never cease to be amazed how excited somebody gets about stuff. Whether it be a miracle broom, a piece of jewelry, some new cut of meat that they're trying to sell you over the TV, whatever it is, you turn on that TV and people will talk your ear off excitedly about this product that you can have for only $29 or three easy pay payments or whatever it is, can be yours for $19.95. And free shipping if you order 10 of them, you know. Enough for Christmas for the next several years for you and your family. And you get all this talk. And I would tell you that as we work out in the world, people do not want to hear talk. What they want to see is Jesus Christ lived out in my life, in your life, and that's what's going to attract them to the kingdom. And when they see Christ in you, and they see Christ in me, they're going to be attracted to the kingdom, and they are going to want to know what it is that's different about you and I. They want to know what makes you different from everybody else in the world. And it's not the circumstances that you're part of. It's not the house you're living in. It's not the job you have. But it's your relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. And I would tell you that as we partner together over these years to come, that I would hope not only to see in your life, but in my life, Jesus Christ to be more evident in everything that I do, everything that I say, and more importantly, everything that I am as a soldier of this great Salvation Army. God doesn't need people to defend him. What he needs is witnesses to his power and grace in our lives. And as we, again, as we work together, as we labor, as co-laborers in his field, it would be my prayer for each one of us that we're growing into the likeness of Christ, and people will see that in each one of us and be attracted to the gospel. Joshua had a job ahead of him. He had an army to lead. Can you imagine taking over for somebody who's already led for 40 years and now you are given the reins, you are given command of this great nation that has now become, and you are going to march into unfamiliar territory? You're going to come up against people like those in Jericho who have strong fortified cities, who have armies that, quite frankly, can walk right over you. And you're given the task to lead this nation, but you're given a promise that God will be with you through all of this, but you're also given the provision or the, the command that you need to be in his word and you need to let that word be a part of you. And so Joshua takes these people across. And if you read the book of Joshua, you can see that he made mistakes. Made a treaty with people who tricked him, right? So his life wasn't perfect. Everything he did wasn't perfect. But in his walk, he continued to be a man who obeyed God's law and God's word. So in this first Sunday together, I will covenant with you that we will be people of the Word. Not only on Sundays when we preach it, but throughout the rest of the week to live it. To be faithful to the calling that God has given us as Salvation Army officers, but more importantly, to be faithful to the calling that Jesus has given us as soldiers of the cross. We want to be people who look like Jesus. Act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and minister to Jesus to those around us. If you read the book of Joshua, you'll see that you know, there was a point where the people finally settled in. And they didn't continue conquering the land. They started to intermarry. And many theologians believe that that was the start of the end at that point. If you read the history of the nation of Israel and the history of the nation of Judah, you'll see that eventually they got overrun, they lost their land, and the promised land was no longer theirs. And it's because they didn't keep the covenant. The covenant was, God said, as long as I'm first in your life, this land will be yours. But when I stop being first in your life, guess what? You're not going to own the land anymore. And that covenant is still true for us. God wants to be first in our lives. He doesn't want any competition. There's none beside him. There's no competition, but sometimes we let other things come in. And we don't want to be like those Israelites. Settle in, get comfortable, and next thing we know, the land is lost. So as we partner together, we're going to try and keep moving. We want to see the core grow. It's great to see so many people sitting in the pews this morning. I was telling my wife earlier that our previous appointment would all fit in the gym. And if you've ever been to Newport, you know that. But it's not the size of the building. It's the people that occupy that building. So I will covenant with you that my wife and I will work alongside of you to not only be successful, but to prosper the kingdom here in Pendleton. And we look forward to this time together over the next several years, working together, laboring together, bringing people into the kingdom, and bringing people closer to God. That's what we want to do. We are extremely, extremely happy to be here. And it's great to see sunshine after 7.5 years on the coast. And no rain for a change. So what I wanted this to be was a time to let you know where we are, what we would like to see happen in the core. We want to be successful, we want to be prosperous, but we can't do that alone. We need the partnership of you all working with us side by side to bring the kingdom of God to those around us. Amen.